Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, I kind of rushed my intro a little bit tonight, and I'll tell you why. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, by the way, 16th of July, and it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We had a wonderful weekend, and I'll get to them more of that in just a minute. I do want to tell you that we are having horrific thunderstorms and rain and wind, and if the show shuts off, I'm not even going to try to bring it back. The Tinker is standing by and ready to put on another episode of the Shooting Bench, followed by a Liberty Lounge. So it'll all work out. But do a search online. Go in there and put a flash floods in Flagstaff, Arizona, and also monsoon rains or something like that in Mesa, Arizona, and look at the damage that has been done in the flooding. Unbelievable. This is something that they just haven't been prepared for that around here. There was at a cemetery. There's damage all over town. It blew over buildings and flooded, and they had, if you guys have ever seen the show called Hidalgo, the dust storm they had at Hidalgo, they have those every once in a while down in Mesa and Phoenix. And they had one just prior to this record-breaking rainstorm they had, along with some terrible winds. And I hadn't thought about it, but some of the swimming pools down there had turned to mud, you know, filled up with dust. And let's see here. By the way, only one of the servers is right. There you go. The second server should be coming up right now. So let me get online and tell you that. Let's see if we got sound there. All right, I'll find out there in just a minute. We're going to continue on with the show whether we have sound on there or not, because the podcast is the primary thing here to get that up. So 5x5. Okay, Mountain Shooter, thank you. Looks like we do have sound on the chat room. So anyway, what I'm telling you, with all this severe weather, my internet has been very undependable today, thanks to Frontier Communications, who is absolutely the worst telephone call. I thought Quest was bad when I lived in New Mexico. No, Frontier's got them beat. So that's where we stand on that. I'm about an inch away from going all satellite here with this and speeding everything up and cutting down on the downtime. But so what we did here was Saturday, made a quick trip to Nevada and dropped off grandkids. We had them here for 3 weeks, and I took them back, and Amy and I drove back about an hour and a half into the trip and decided to stop and stay in Beatty, Nevada. And I did a show from Beatty one time. It was a long time ago. I believe we were still with Just Measures. I don't remember for sure. I'm sure we were. And Beatty's a neat little town. There's not a whole lot going on there. It's basically tourists, you know, the gateway to Death Valley. I was going to say, what the heck's that desert over there? Yeah, gateway to Death Valley. A lot of museums and a lot of happenings. It's a fun little town. I wouldn't want to live there. I don't want to stay there very long, but it's a neat little town. So anyway, we got up in the newspaper. Their newspaper is about 3 pages long over there. And on the front page, it said something about BLM is going to capture and move about 300 wild burros. And I had never thought about it until then. I said, you know, there can't be that damn many wild burros around there. But we see them all alongside the road all the time, but I thought they were probably domestic, but they're wild burros. And the thing is, during the mining days there, you know, hundreds of those things were turned loose, abandoned, where people, you know, lost their fortune or made a fortune, or either way, the donkeys lost out. And it turned out there, and they're everywhere. As a matter of fact, when I say everywhere, I mean pretty much everywhere. We got up in the motel next morning, walked out, and there's a pile of donkey crap in the middle of the sidewalk at the motel. Two of them, as a matter of fact. One of them in the flower bed and one of them right in the middle of the sidewalk. And we come around the corner there after we went to eat, and the truck was literally stopped in the middle of the road. And I said, what the hell's going on? I started to go around him and look. Now, there's half a dozen donkeys walking across the road right dead center in the middle of downtown Beatty, Nevada. And it was fun. And what they're going to do is they're going to take those donkeys and they're going to give them those burros, and they're going to give them the proper veterinary treatment and worm them and whatever else they need to do, and then they'll sell them just like they do the wild horses. Now, I'm not sure what horses are going for now, but for years they were $125 a piece, and some of them pretty nice horses. You had to prove that you had a place to keep them and convince them that you were a good foster dad and mom for the horse. And they come and inspect them and check on them periodically, I don't know, once a month or whatever, for a year. And then after that, they're yours free and clear, and you do whatever you want to with them. And they're going to do the same thing to the donkeys. I don't know what they're going to sell them for, but that's what they're planning on doing. There's just so many of them. They claim that they're too close to the highway. They're all over town, getting in people's lawns and flower beds and whatever, as few as they are. And so anyway, it was kind of interesting. We came back and went through several severe thunderstorms. And Doc, yeah, you're right about that. And by the way, welcome to everybody. I see Cajun Mimi has joined us again. Glad to see you in there. And we got to Kingman, and we got to Lake. Now, Kingman is, if you haven't been there, it's the absolute epitome of desert. I mean, it's just like Las Vegas, I mean, like Death Valley with a town in the middle of it almost, but not quite that bad. Anyway, I started noticing it was pretty wet around there, and the closer we got to Flagstaff, the wetter it got. And there's water standing, water running places that I've never seen it before. And lo and behold, we get home, we went through some pretty good storms, we get home and get on the internet and look, and there's record-breaking rain and flash floods in Flagstaff. I mean, there's cars underwater and stuff that you normally see in Houston or Miami or something like that. But it was in Flagstaff, Arizona, at, you know, 8,000 feet elevation or whatever. So and by the way, as you might guess, all of our fire restrictions were lifted at 3 o'clock today. So we can burn stuff and burn trash and shoot guns and play with fireworks and do whatever we want to. All of the fire restrictions have been lifted. So this is good. Time to get out and go shooting again. So here we are. What's the big news today? Well, depending on who you ask, whether it's good or bad.
Was President Trump talking to Putin? Now, I think that he is absolutely brilliant in what he did. And most of the people agree that he's done a good thing. It's hard for me to believe that there are so many people that claim to be conservatives that are against President Trump. Well, he didn't do this, or he's going to do that. Well, maybe and maybe not. But if you look at the number of things that he's done good up till now, he's kept most of his promises. Has he said a few things that he probably shouldn't have, or not done things he said? Yeah, he has. And I'll say this again. He is, look what they did to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how good he does, there's still going to be people that don't like him. And I've told you before, if he come up with a cure for cancer, the Democrats would still hate him. But I just don't understand that. And I don't understand the people that they claim to be conservatives that are against President Trump. Being a little skeptical, I can understand that. I can appreciate that. It's okay. But to talk about him in the same manner that the liberals do just is to talk about deplorable. I mean, they live up to their name for damn sure. And Doc's right. We should have better relationships with Russia. Do we have to... There can be what's called an uneasy alliance. We don't have to hate Putin. We don't have to hate Russia because of things they've done in the past or what they might do in the future. But right now, I think Trump is the perfect man to be in there and strengthen our relationship with Russia. And I think that everything that Putin said... Russian Mimi, there you go. Mimi,
you're going to run her off, Doc, if you're not careful. What was I saying? You got me all tickled there. Anyway, I think he's the perfect man for at this particular time. See, he don't care. He's not, he's doing what most of us, in saying the things that most of us would say. He's saying things that a lot of other people would have said if they weren't scared to. Most other people are worried about re-election. Trump's worried about getting America back on track. And in so doing, the re-election will probably be a done deal. And I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it again. If he screws up and does a terrible thing, I will be right in line to hate him just as bad as everybody else does. But at this point, he has not done that. What he's done right now is, through his actions, have exposed some very serious and monumental things that the Democrats have done. Now, people say that he's thrown our intelligence community under the bus, that he's taken Putin over them. Do you blame him? When you have multiple agencies that have tried from the beginning, number one, to keep him from getting elected, and others that are trying to unseat him, you know, even still yet. I mean, hell, there's not too many people on this earth that I wouldn't trust more than some of our intelligence community. And I'll say that with the same disclaimer that I always do. I know that there are good people in every single agency out there. I don't agree that we should have some of those agencies. Most of these federal agencies are unconstitutional, and I don't agree with them. That don't make the men that's in them bad, and women. But in that same breath, I want to say, well, that's a lie because I took a breath there. But I want to say that there are some very, very bad ones that are very, very deplorable, that are very, very practically anti-American. But there are many good ones.
also. But with all that being said, I would not trust the agency itself as a whole. Probably not. Look at some of the things that's been going on here lately. Give me one good reason why I should trust any of the intelligence agencies right now in the United States. Maybe I don't know why you can't see it as of yet, but I think you will if you hang around and watch. It sounds like your mind's a little closed right now. I wish it weren't. But what it looks like and what is happening may be two different things. And even if everything goes to hell today, look at the number of things that Trump has done that he said he was going to do up till now. So I can't blame Mimi or some of the rest of them for being skeptical. I really don't, because there are, I've got one of my own dear friends here that just refuses to even go and see some of the candidates when they come and come to town and talk. Well, someone's going to be elected. Someone's going to run for office. Someone's going to do bad. Someone's going to do good. We can't turn that, stop it, affect it one way or the other by doing nothing. We can be sure that if we do nothing, that we have no reason to gripe, and we'll get just exactly what we helped get. Now, does that mean that your vote counts and that everything you do is going to help? No, not necessarily. But not doing anything whatsoever absolutely guarantees that it's not going to work or not going to help. I see Yakima Glock there didn't support him until he was, didn't support Trump until he was the only option to keep us out of the Hillary presidency. Okay, that's one thing he did right there. But been happy for the most part with the job he's done. And Cajun Mimi, I'm going to tell you one more thing. There is a strong possibility. Let me rephrase that. Not a strong possibility. There is a slight possibility that I may be wrong, but don't hold your breath. No, I'm just kidding. But up till now, see, everything, and maybe I'm not pointing this at you, okay? I love you. I want you to hang around. But I'll say that just like before he was elected, I wrote a big, long deal and put it on Facebook, and I said if he does, I don't remember how I put it, if he does 5% of what he says he'll do, we'll be 500% better off as a nation. If he does nothing, then we're not going to get any worse. But he has done something. He's the best option in the worst of times. That's what A.Z. Bound says there. And the thing is, he's done, other than speculation, he's done nothing to harm the country, to hurt them. I mean, the economy's stronger. There's more jobs. He's working on the wall. He's working on immigration. I mean, what in the world? What else do you want him to do, for crying out loud? He's arrogant. There's things he does that pisses me off. I understand that. But Mimi, I agree. Virtue is what you should look for. But until someone virtuous shows up that is able to do what Trump's doing, I'll settle for Trump with less virtue. He's not doing anything, they've tried and tried and tried to dig up dirt on him. Now, you want virtue? Look at every single president as far back as George Washington and tell me where virtue has come in to any one of them. The closest, maybe might have been Reagan, But they've tried and tried to dig up dirt on Trump, and what did they find? One hooker that he may or may not have spent some time with, what was it, 12, 15, 20 years ago or whatever it was? And that's really the only thing they've come up with. As hard as they've tried, that's all they got. But let's go back and look at the Bushes. Look at Osama, Carter, Clinton, any of them. Choose one. And where is all this virtue? We can look for something that's never going there or may never take place, and we can fret and wring our hands over it because we don't see it, or we can take the best of what we got. I mean, take what we got, you know, such as it is, that is right now doing no harm, apparently has done, I mean, not apparently, but obviously, has done nothing but good so far. Maybe not the things that we want. You know, some people say, well, why didn't he pardon the rest of the people? Why don't he go after the people that killed Lavoie? And the only thing I can say is he's running a country with a lot of problems, with 325 million people, and about 50 million of them are ready to kill him. I'm sure that it's not anything you just wake up one day and say, well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. I bet his schedule is full for months at a time ahead. He got the Hammonds pardoned, and I think that was an awesome thing, considering everything else that's going on, starting to run this country. I don't blame him one damn bit for taking over a year to get it done. I wish he'd have done it the day after he was elected. But to tell you the truth, he probably wasn't even aware of it. Had no idea. I do know personally some of the people that took and presented this personally to Vice President Pence, who was instrumental in getting it hand-delivered to President Trump. And when all that happened, the ball started rolling. And it happened. Virtue? You think Obama would have pardoned the Hammonds? Or Hillary? Or any of those other so-called conservative jerks that were running against Trump? Highly unlikely. Matter of fact, I was a little surprised here. I saw that earlier I saw a story where Rand Paul, I believe it was, had supported Trump's interaction with Putin. So will it all fall to hell and fall to pieces and ruin everything and everybody will prove me wrong? Well, it might. And when it does, I'll hate him just as bad as everybody else does. But until that time, I am to the point right now where I would take a bullet for that man. I think he's doing immensely better than what was hoped in the beginning. We'll see what happens with this Russian deal. If Hillary goes to jail, well, now that may be, you know, as much as I like what Trump's doing, that may be a little optimistic. But I'd like to see that happen. And everybody would like to see that happen. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with that. I tell you what, after the break, let's see. Again, and everybody knows this, I support law enforcement to the nth degree as an institution. There are lots of bad ones out there. In Pennsylvania, the cops killed a guy with a bulldozer after discovering some marijuana plants. They were looking for a man that was suspected of growing marijuana. And
they were suspected of working in a marijuana grow operation when they ran him over with a bulldozer and killed him. They tried to justify it by pointing out that they'd found 10 marijuana plants. Really? Ran over a guy with a bulldozer and he justified it by pointing out 10 marijuana plants? Then they tried to say he had a heart attack. It just happened to be a coincidence that his bulldozer ran over him. If a bulldozer about to run over me, I'd probably have a heart attack too. But the autopsy had determined that he died of traumatic injuries. And, you know, when you get run over by a bulldozer, traumatic injuries happen. One of those things. So, anyway, the stories, the whole story is kind of irrelevant. You know, that they captured the guy that had 10 marijuana plants, run him over with a bulldozer and killed him. I think there's probably better ways to handle that. That was an assault bulldozer, and not supposed to be in civilian hands, I guess. So, yeah, Mimi, yeah, you're absolutely right. Evil can appear as a wolf in sheep's clothing. It can appear as a sheep in wolf's clothing. It appears as lots of things. But all of your statements so far has been what he might do, what he can do, and all that. I haven't heard you say anything about what he has done. He has done quite a bit so far. And more jobs available right now than and things are going up. How do you say that? Exponentially? We'll see what happens. Things progress and change dang near daily with this stuff that's going on here. So we'll keep watching it and see what happens. Let's see here. Yeah, Tebow, as did most of us. We just looked and looked and looked. I tell you, in the beginning, I didn't spend too much time researching Trump because I thought he had no chance. I knew that election was rigged to the hilt. I had no way you could convince me that he had any possibility of winning in my wildest dreams. But I was a little surprised. I stayed up all night and watched the damn deal and couldn't believe it. Well, Doc, say I mentioned Carter, didn't support Carter in any way, shape, or form, but he did have guts. And, you know, I met President Carter. I was working on if you look in Atlanta, down on, it's on actually on Jimmy Carter Parkway, just, I believe it was, I can't remember for sure, I think it was west of the Jimmy Carter Library. There's an ice canopy there. An ice canopy, this is a $2.8 million concrete structure that we built. I was a superintendent on that job. And I was a superintendent that started it and got about halfway through it. And then I moved to Wyoming and another friend of mine finished it. But anyway, long story about the ice canopy. What it was for is to prevent ice from breaking windshields when ice formed in big, heavy chunks on the guy wires at WSL's antenna there. And they were worried about it falling and breaking windshields and stuff, so they spent $2.8 million to prevent that. But anyway, while we were building that, President Carter and his wife came up to talk to us, and despite what I think he was as a president, him and his wife were the most cordial, warm, friendly people I have ever met in my life. I enjoyed talking to him. I didn't enjoy his presidency, but it was over when done, and they just come up to talk and visit a little bit and see what we were doing. They had a couple of Secret Service guys with them that walked up respectfully, stayed, I don't remember, probably 40 feet away or something like that. Very watchful, very professional, but didn't interfere with anything. And anyway, that was really neither here nor there. It's just kind of not what I expected from Jimmy Carter. I'll put it that way.
But he was a typical Southern hospitality, very, very warm, friendly guy. All right. Well, I was not prepared here, so let's do this way, just for the heck of it, because I wasn't prepared for a break. But we'll do it just for the heck of it anyway. Stand by. I'll be back in a few minutes. Got some other things I'm going to talk about you might be in.
I'll be back.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole
patriotic songs.
There the star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right, sit right down. Baby, let your hair hang.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, holding them heels, and it's waiting for me.
All right, we're back. Let me jump over here to the chat room and see what's happening. I was just there. Okay. Anyway, we're going to change gears completely here, and we're going to talk about, you wouldn't expect to be hearing about something like this on the shooting bench ever in your wildest dreams. But right now you're going to hear about it. For some reason today, it just hit a chord with me, and I figured enough is enough. I just can't take it anymore. And that's this absolute retarded craze for bottled water. It drives me nuts. All right, now before I get too deep into this, before you think I'm talking about everybody, I'm not. I understand that there are times when people have bad water in their homes, and, you know, they drink bottled water. Now, I'm not talking about going and getting the 5-gallon or 6-gallon, whatever they are, bottles of water. I'm talking about the little plastic bottles. Okay, there's a lot of people that, Nan finally bounced in there. 115 degrees and the air conditioning goes out. Well, I know that's right. It's hot in that part of the country. So I'm not at all talking about the people that get the 5-gallon water for, you know, and having bad water at their house, whatever. What I'm talking about, these people, there's several different types of people that annoy me with this bottled water thing. One of them they're just the convenience thing. They're too lazy. I'm not going to say too cheap, because they're spending money on this stupid water. Right now, bottled water is the world's fastest growing beverage. Now, see, that doesn't make sense to me. A lot of these people that are drinking this water, a lot of them, and especially the ones that promote it so much, are the hippie type tree huggers and whatnot. Oh, you know, save the world and everything. And they're drinking bottled water. Do they think about the amount of petroleum that it takes to make these stupid little bottles? Do they think about how many of these bottles wind up in bodies of water, in the ocean, in lakes, on the beaches and whatnot? How many tons of plastic it takes for them to... Now, understand that I am not a tree hugger, all right? I when it comes Earth Day, I leave every damn light in the house on all night. It just pisses me off. I'm not... What ticks me... I'm talking about stupidity here. I'm not talking about the environmental aspects of drinking or not drinking this water. I'm talking about the people that promote it and advocate drinking it for reasons that are mostly imaginary. They think this water is something special. And the fact is, this came out several years ago, and kind of as a surprise to people. They didn't want to believe it. But now, you know, you look on the back of some of these water bottles, it says from a municipal water source. Look at the bottled water that you get at Walmart, the Walmart brand, is bottled by DS Waters of America. The company is in Atlanta, but the source for the water is the Sacramento Municipal Water Supply. And then purified by reverse osmosis, filtered and ozonated. I looked at another source of another bottle of water. Let me get my phone here. I took a picture of one of the bottles there. It was a great value bottle of water, but it wasn't. Here it is right here. No, there it is right there. And it is, the source is Municipal Water Supply of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. You look at that's another thing, Cajun Mimi. We can definitely agree on that. And, a lot of time it is nothing more than tap water. Amy is much more into this plastic stuff more than I am. But I understand, especially if you leave water bottles in hot cars in Phoenix and whatnot, I think there's little or no danger in moderate weather. I do, however, think that danger increases a bunch in hot weather, all the stuff that comes out of that plastic. So that's just one other issue there. One of the companies that buys this water, you know, one of the things people gripe about, and they say, well, you know, I'm going to boycott Nestle because they're bottling all their water in California. You know what? If them Californians are stupid enough to sell them water when they're in the middle of a drought, God bless them. Who cares where they're getting the water? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. You're going to boycott Nestle's because they're buying water from somebody that's willing to sell it to them? They're not stealing the damn water. They didn't go in there and threaten them and say, hey, if you don't sell us that water, we're going to put a couple of cheap charges in the San Andreas Fault and slide you off in the ocean. So, you know, they made a deal with California to get that water. It ain't Nestle's fault. What was I going to say here? Here I go again. Oh, there's a company there that buys water. It's in California. They buy water for, see if I can remember the figure. It was like 99 cents for, I think they figured this out because a bottle of the standard, you know, economy water is 99 cents a bottle. So 99 cents buys them 768.4 gallons, if I remember right. 768 gallons, something like that. Can you imagine what kind of a racket this is? And it ain't the companies that sell in the water's fault. It's the people that are stupid enough to buy it. Okay. I understand. You know, once in a while you don't want to drink a Coke and probably shouldn't and all that. I get it. And just on the way home, you just want to grab a cold bottle of water. Well, all right, maybe it's not the end of the world. But another thing that irks me is you pay, okay, you're paying $0.99, $1.29, $1.89, whatever it is, for a bottle of water, 16, 20, 24-ounce bottle of water. Maybe you're going to get a whole quart. You're going to really save money. Look at that price compared to gasoline. You'll pay $1.29 for 16 ounces of water. And how many 16 ounces is there in a gallon? 8, right? Is that right? I think it's 8. Or is it more than that? I don't remember. But anyway, whatever it is, let's say it's 8. I'm not good at conversion there. But at $1.20, you've got 8 of those at $1.29. That's 8, 9, 10. That's a little over $10 a gallon. And the same people worry about making a trip across town because it's going to cost them an extra quart of gasoline to get over there and back. And then they leave half full bottles of water, liquid gold, sitting on the fence post at the rodeo. Or, you know, sitting on the bumper of a car and they drive off after a rally or something. Every time we have some kind of event at the park around here or a rodeo, like I said, or any type of activity, the parade. And see how many half-full bottles of water are sitting all over the damn place. And you gripe about using a little bit extra gasoline that only costs you $3 a gallon? Is $3 a gallon high for gas? Well, around here it is, yeah. But it ain't as high as water. And I saw that earlier on one of these stories where someone thinks that water is a basic human right. It's not. It's a basic human need. You have no God-given right to get water. That's your problem. You work it out. Figure out where you're going to get your water. It's not a right that's protected in any fashion. It is a necessity. It's a basic human necessity, just like food and sleep and sex. Oh, no, wait, that's not part of it. And Diet Dr. Pepper. You know, those are basic human necessities. Copper, good. Camelback. Now, see, there's no reason why you shouldn't be. I have Camelback water bottles. They're made of, high density, a little bit different plastic than what your regular soft plastic bottles are. I mean, water bottles are. And there's no reason you can't refill that just about anywhere. You can go into the wherever, fill it in the sink. They have free water at every soda fountain and everything. At what about air? Yeah, there is that. And air is not a basic human right. It's a basic human necessity. But you can get water and ice free just about anywhere. And what if they make you pay a quarter for the ice? Does that make you mad? But you'll pay $1.99 for a bottle of water, the 24-ounce bottle of water? Please. Cajun Mimi, I used to have my, I've got one, two, three, I have three or four of those stainless Stanley vacuum bottles, thermos bottles. And since I don't drink coffee anymore, I will take those and put, they keep ice really well. And I'll fill those things up with as big an ice chunk as I can put in there. It won't quite take a whole cube, but I try not to use crushed ice either. It lasts longer the bigger it is. And fill that up with water and carry it along with me. And I don't know how I got off on this day, but I got to thinking about it. And the longer I thought about it, the more pissed off I was. It just didn't make any sense. There's a town in Massachusetts actually that voted to ban the sale of bottled water. This was several years ago, actually. They started doing this way before anybody else did. But they voted to ban the sale of water bottles in their municipality as of January of 2011, I think it was. And they probably the first town to do such a thing. And there's one type of water. Well, there's probably more than one. There's one that I know of that does not come out of a municipal supply, and that's Fiji water. It actually comes from Fiji, from the island of Fiji. However, in 2007, 2008, there is, aside for the disputes of the export duties that led to some legal cases, there was a self-imposed industry shutdown of Fiji bottled water bottlers. But let's see here. Let me find the part of this one story. November 2010, Fiji deported Fiji Water Director of External Affairs David Roth. David Roth, does that name sound to ring a bell? For interfering in Fiji's domestic affairs, leading to the resignation. Okay, that's not what I'm looking for. 2006, Fiji Water ran an advertisement stating that the label says Fiji because it's not bottled in Cleveland. Well, this was taken as an insult by the city of Cleveland, by their water department. And they ran some tests comparing a bottle of Fiji water to Cleveland tap water and a few of the other national brands. Fiji water contained 6.31 micrograms of arsenic per liter, where the tap water in Cleveland contained zero. In 2015, a test of Fiji water bottled in November 2014, performed and reported by the company, the reported arsenic level 1.2 micrograms per liter. Now, that's not to say that that's dangerous, because 10 micrograms per liter is the FDA limit. So 6.31 is over half the legal limit, but it's still under it. But the point is, Cleveland's tap water had none. So don't fall for all the advertising, all the hype and the crap that they tell you about these stupid water things. I looked at a lot of stories today about this, and I found a few stories that were really supportive of this, and they had some figures there that were, but no, what would you call it, the legitimate, reputable sources of where these came from. And I look at some of these other ones here, and they name some of the sources and the laboratories and stuff where they've done their testing and stuff. This one report says that, let's see, in a survey last year, the association found the average American drinks about half a dozen 8-ounce servings of water each day, or Diet Dr. Pepper. Bottled water accounts for 2.3 of those servings. Bottled water users were twice as likely as others to cite health for their choice of beverage. 56% of the bottled water users cited taste. 55% cited convenience. So how do you get 56% and 55% out of the same bunch? 56%. Well, I guess maybe there was some that said taste and, I don't know. As the strongest influences for their decision to drink bottled water, slightly more than 1 in 3 users of bottled water said their trust in the treatment and the source of the water is reasons that influence their choice of beverage. There's another one. The report says $22 billion a year bottled water industry uses 1.5 million tons of plastic annually to package water. How dumb is that? The manufacturing disposable of plastic causes toxic chemicals to be released. Okay, I think most of us will agree with that. Anyway, and here it says right here, clean water is a basic right. It's not. It's a basic necessity. Protecting our rivers, streams, and wetlands will help us ensure that tap water. Okay, I get that. I can't argue with that a bit. I'm perfectly okay with that. Mimi, I understand what you're saying. I get that. It's you have water in and of itself is not clean water is not a right. If someone had you in captivity, a basic human right is bringing you water, bringing you something to keep you from dehydrating and dying. That doesn't make water a right. It makes it basic human decency a right. But water in itself cannot be a right. It is a substance. A substance is not a right. Air is not a right. You have right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And life being drinking water, that doesn't make with water. Do you understand what I'm saying? The basic rights are, like I said, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A right cannot be water. If you lived out alone somewhere and you run out of water, it is not a right that somebody is going to bring you water. You have a right to it. Yeah, that might be a better way to put it. But it's your responsibility. Unless you are in captivity, it is your responsibility to find water. It is no company that is saying to you, if they are advertising clean water and you're not getting it, then that's a criminal matter. And, you know, lawsuit, jail, whatever the case may be. AZ Bound, yeah, the only right we have on this earth is to suffer. And by the way, AZ Bound just reminded me, the class in Colorado registration has been closed. It's full. So anybody that wants in that, I think that there's not any left, any spots left at all in that. So if I would be happy to go up there and do another one or come to your area and do one for you. But this one is full. So anyway, all right. Well, we're right up against our time here. So since unbelievably, my internet stayed up for the whole show. And that really surprises me. Since it did, you're going to have a double dose of Liberty Lounge, the Shooting Bench, because there's going to be one come up right after this. And then the Tinker was good enough to put on a edition of Liberty Lounge that'll come up immediately after that. So there you have it. That's what's going to be taking place here in just a couple of minutes when I get signed out here. All right, Cajun Mimi, I see what you're saying, the availability to it. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I won't argue about that anymore because I'm not sure how to word that, or you know, you may be right on the availability. I think the availability to it comes under the right of life, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I don't know. Anyway, okay, and maybe thank you for hanging in there and being a good sport. I wasn't picking on you, but I just have my opinions, and you have yours, and everybody else has theirs, and that's why we get along so well on here. You know, we never, ever, Mimi, since you're so new, and Copper's not quite as new as you, but he hadn't been here too terribly long, we never have any problems on this chat room. You'll notice that we don't use foul language on here. We don't allow it. We will nuke people that use it, or at least nuke the comments. If they're habitual offenders, then they'll be gone. We just don't put up with it. I've never seen a chat room that has been so easy flowing as this one. It's we just have very little problem. I've got several moderators here that keep an eye on things on the weekend. If we get some anonymous idiot comes in and says something, oh, they're gone like right now, and no second chance. So, okay, I'm gonna get on out of here, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday. We are almost certain to have some more, something else happen between now and Wednesday, and I'm anxious to see what it's going to be. So I'm out of here. We'll see you later.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.